I want to share with you a practice that I am very interested in. I call it active pause. Now, of course, among focusers, the word pause is a very powerful one. In the beginning, there is the pause. Without the pause, there's not much that can happen in terms of focusing. But the practice that I call active pause is not actually focusing. It is something different. There's some similarities, there's some differences. So I want to, maybe before going much further into the description of the practice, talk a little bit about the similarities and the differences. The similarities obviously have to do with the concept of a pause itself. The common point is that we acknowledge a need to slow down, to get out of default mode, to pay attention to the fork in the road, to not just assume. Take a moment, take a pause, take a break. Slow down, pay attention to what happens inside. So all of this is very much in common. Now there are differences. The biggest one is that in focusing, we pay attention to the natural pause. We foster it. We let it happen. We develop our ability to get into the natural pause. The natural pause is something that allows us to integrate experience. In a different setting, I have been describing the integrative process as something that is similar to what happens when, say, you drink water from a bottle. You need to have the ability to be open so that the water can come in. If you're closed, none comes in. On the other hand, if you cannot close, then you would be drowning in all the water. So you need to regulate the flow of water. Take in, stop, take in. So there is an inner ability in all of us to regulate how we interact with experience. And the natural pause is simply that ability to regulate how open we are and how we also avoid being drowned in overflow. The practice that I call active pause is actually in some way a contrived pause. It's something we deliberately do in order to create a very specific kind of pause. So I want to really insist on the difference between the natural pause and this deliberate kind of pause, because I want to make sure that nobody misconstructs what I'm saying as saying that active pause is a better kind of pause or a form of focusing. It is not. It is a deliberate practice to explore something very specific, to explore mindfulness and embodied experience. So maybe now tell you a little bit more about how we can do that through active pause. So what you would do is just take a little rubber ball. It could be a tennis ball. It could be actually one of these little rubber balls that are sold as stress balls that you can squeeze. And if you don't have one, you can roll up some, newspaper, paper, socks, something that you can hold in your hand and that you can kind of gently or not so gently squeeze. And the practice itself, you know, takes 1 minute. I mean, it's not a big deal. You just sit down, you hold a ball in one hand, and you gently squeeze with your eyes closed. As you squeeze, you pay attention to what it feels like to hold and squeeze in your hand and in your arm. And then you move the ball to the other hand, you do the same thing, and back and forth for a minute. That's it. As you do that, you might have thoughts, you might have ideas, your mind can wander, and it's okay. The only thing is, you know, you're not trying to prevent yourself from having thoughts or having your mind wander, but you're just making sure that at least part of your attention is directed toward paying attention to what's happening in your arm, in your hand, as you squeeze. And remember to go back and forth. So as you do that, you are literally getting a grip. You're getting a grip on the ball. You're getting a grip on that reality. You're getting a grip on what it is like to pay attention to your body. So instead of literally living in your head, which is ideas, thoughts, preconceptions, you're also shifting at least some of your attention to what is happening in the body through paying attention to what's happening in the hand, in the arms. And as you're doing that, to your breathing, to your being alive. And so you're distributing your attention to a larger container. And you gain access to more than just your intellectual mind, your logical mind, your thoughts, but to the whole body experience, just as in focusing, you do that, you pay attention to the wisdom of the whole body. But the difference here is with that contrived pause of active pause, you really are paying attention to not just a felt sense, but that embodied experience, and to the nervous system experience. So let's talk a little bit about that. When we are in any kind of perceived threat, you know, be it major or relatively minor, our nervous system starts creating some kind of a fight or flight response, which essentially means getting in a state of alert and bringing up extra energy in order to either face the threat, the fight, or run away from it, the flight. And that brings a lot of energy and at the same time reduces our capacity for clear, logical thinking, because in an emergency, it's not really our ability to, think and talk that's going to be important. It's actually the ability to fight or to run away that's going to have survival value. That's way back when. In current everyday reality, it probably makes more sense to actually have access to our calmer self than to that instinctual fight or flight. But we evolved based on the requirements of different living conditions. And so what operates within us is that fight or flight response and that reactivity. So that reactivity brings in some kind of a very fragmented energy, very scattered energy. And it's not just a thought. It's not just a concept. Once you stop and pay attention to it, you notice. If you try to hold a little rubber ball in your hand and you squeeze it and you try to go from one hand to the other, you notice whether you are actually in a calm place or whether you're twitchy or whether you are in that kind of scattered energy mode. So paying attention to this, being really in your body as you notice it, grounds you. It allows you to shift. And when you cannot shift, at least being grounded in an embodied understanding of where you are, including if you're agitated. So then words like scattered energy or calm presence are not just concepts. You're paying attention to them. You're living it. And as you are grounded in who you are at this moment, then there is the possibility of a shift. So this practice of active pause is obviously something that's going to be of interest when you're agitated, when you're trying to kind of ground yourself, to come back to be here now as opposed to being distracted. But it's also something that is going to help you take a break. Say, when you're trying to resolve something, you're trying to deal with an issue, you're trying to brainstorm on some work issue, and when we're trying to do something, we usually try very hard and almost squeeze our brains in an effort to get something done. And that kind of squeezing your brains attitude is usually not something that's very conducive to coming up with something new. In fact, you know, from that place, we tend to kind of repeat old patterns. So the obvious solution is, well, you should relax. You should stop being so intent on squeezing your brains. And of course, saying you should relax is much easier said than done. So a nice way to do that, instead of saying I should not be tight, is actually to shift your attention to something else. And so instead of squeezing your brains, squeeze that little rubber ball and feel the squeezing and allow yourself to actually enjoy the squeezing. And then you're noticing that your energy and your attention are going to shift elsewhere, which is then going to lighten up the tension, free up your mind, and allow you to come with other ideas, other feelings, other thoughts, see things from a different perspective. Now, as a focuser, you know that you use focusing to do that. And focusing is amazingly wonderful because it has all of this range of applications. So I'm not trying to tell you, hey, do this instead of focusing. Think of what I'm describing as something that's like cross-training. For instance, you're a runner and you also swim occasionally. So swimming does not necessarily directly make you a better runner, but it helps your body in general function better, be more fit, and complements the muscles that you develop through running. Think of this as cross-training for your focusing practice, as something that introduces way of paying attention to some things you don't necessarily pay attention to as you focus. And so a way that you might enrich your focusing practice through this approach. Active pause is something you can use on your own and something that therapists are also using in therapy sessions. So in either case, it would be really great if you were willing to share your experiences as an individual person or as a therapist of what happens as you explore active pause. And to do that, we don't have a response form on the focusing website, but there is one on the Active Pause website. So visit the Active Pause website to look at the video, to see what else is written about this topic, and also to use the contact form to share your experience. It's at activepause.com. I'm really looking forward to hearing from you. This is part of the Focusing Conversations series of the Focusing Institute, hosted by Serge Prengel. All contents are protected by copyright. You can find other such conversations on our website at focusing.org/conversations.